Chapter 3. And today I'm going to be starting a new series of teaching in the church. And this the subject of this is people who meet God. We're going to be looking at different people in the Bible who and their encounters with God and the way that their lives were changed. And so the first talk in this series, Encountering God, is Moses and the Burning Bush. So if we've all got the passage now, we'll just read this out together. So now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush doesn't burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Amen. And Father, we just want to thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who hears. You are a God who sees, a God who hears, and you are a God who intervenes. And Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness to your people, and we thank you for your faithfulness to us today. We thank you. Just pray as we look at this now, Lord, you'll just speak to us and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, well, as Christians, of course, we all believe in a personal God. We believe, of course, in a God who we meet and a God with whom we have relationship. And if you want to look at the Bible as a whole, you could say the Bible is all about people meeting God, isn't it? It's the story of how God, it's largely the story of how God meets and deals with people. And if we're talking about meeting God, as we are in this series, then Moses is a very good starting point, because it says that since that time, no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So there was obviously something very special about that relationship, wasn't there, that Moses had with God. But I just want to make three points about this encounter with a burning bush, okay? And my first point, I'll say, is that this encounter was preceded by time in the wilderness, okay? And I'm sure we all know the story. So obviously, we know from going back into Genesis, in the time of Joseph, then of course there was a famine, wasn't there, in Israel, and all the people had gone down to live, his father Jacob had come down to live in Israel. And they'd settled, and it seemed like a good thing. They'd escaped the famine, and they were in a land where the Pharaoh really loved Joseph and trusted him, and they were treated with respect. But times change, don't they? God doesn't change, but people do. And 400 years later, the Israelites were oppressed and enslaved, and they were groaning. And then, of course, we know what happened. Moses was an Israelite, but it turned out he was brought up in Pharaoh's own palace. But then one day he went out and he saw how his own people were suffering. And he saw there was one Egyptian who was beating an Israelite, and he actually killed him. And I should actually say he didn't really just kill him, he actually murdered him. If you actually realize what Moses did, you read the passage in the Bible, it says he looked one way and the other, and when he saw that nobody was around, he killed him. It was actually a cold-blooded murder. And if you read in Acts, it actually, in Acts 7, where this is when part of Stephen's speech, he actually says, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, When he saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. And the next day, when Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting, he tried to reconcile them, but they said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us?" It's an interesting thought, isn't it, that Moses thought that by murdering this Egyptian, his people would think that God was sending him to rescue them. It just goes to show that no matter how clever you are and how great your education is, you can still do some pretty stupid things. So actually, it certainly is the case that if you think God has asked you to help people by murdering somebody, that's probably you're just as wrong as Moses was. But anyway, after that, of course, Moses went away. He had to go away, and he lived in the wilderness to the far side of the desert, and he lived there for 40 years. But then at the end of this 40 years, God appeared and spoke to him. And it's interesting that God often does speak after times in the wilderness. And I think sometimes we, in our 20th century way, or 21st century, to get up to date, we often quite dislike or despise wilderness times. We say we must have breakthrough, and we must see God working. Sometimes God actually leaves us in the wilderness for a period of time and then speaks to us. I'm sure that I've had my own periods of that. I suppose one thing I've learned in those times is, above everything else, I need God more than anything else in my life. And I'm sure Moses felt like a failure. If you think about it, everything was a disaster. The Israelites were in exile from their own land, and he himself was in exile from his own people. So he was an exile from the exile, actually. He must have thought, "I'm about as far away from God wants for my life as I could possibly be, on the far side of this desert." But then it was here, in fact, that God spoke to him. And maybe sometimes some of us here might feel that we're in a little bit of a desert experience now, and there can be different senses in which we may feel that. But what I would always encourage you is just always reach out to God. I'll say a little bit about this in a moment. Some of the most important people in the Bible had that period in the wilderness. Actually, David, of course, when he was anointed as the king of Israel, he didn't immediately go and sit on the throne. He continued looking after his sheep, didn't he? And he had a very, very difficult time before he finally was actually seen as king. We read about Paul, actually, who, after he had his encounter with God, he actually spent some time in Arabia. He only went up to Jerusalem, it says, 3 years later, if you read the account in Galatians. And, of course, Jesus, too, spent time in the desert, didn't he? And God spoke to him. He was tempted, and God spoke to him in that wilderness. So God uses this experience in many of his servants. And yet the thing is, he doesn't actually leave us in the desert. But if we're in that desert, I'll just say three quick things. So if my first point was God spoke in a desert, three things about desert life. The first thing is, look after your sheep. What did Moses do? He looked after his sheep. What did David do? He looked after his sheep. And sometimes we all yearn for things to change and for some glorious thing to happen. But I think the most important thing is we just take those, if we are in that desert, we just still serve God faithfully in the circumstances we have, even as we're looking for God to change. In Luke says that he who's faithful in what is least is also faithful in what is much. Also faithful in much. And in Matthew 25, Jesus, in another parable, he said, "You who are faithful over a few things," he said, "I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of your Lord." And I remember, in fact, last week, David was talking about sometimes the little things are very important to God. You know, we have the verses, don't we, that said, "You give even a glass of cold water to one of these little ones, because he's one of my disciples. I tell you the truth, you'll surely not lose your reward." I remember the story David told, well, remember part of it anyway, that David told last week, where God spoke to him and just highlighted different things in life. And the things God highlighted were just these rather apparently random little events. And those are things that somehow God had placed, you know, that desire to do things into his heart. And the fact he was obedient then, or just did the right thing, that was very important to God. So sometimes things that are small are actually big. There's a Christian poster once had this sentence on it: enjoy the small things of life, for one day you will look back and realize that they were actually the big things. And that can be true. So whatever we are, just do what is right. And if we're in that desert, well, just look after your sheep, or whatever the modern day equivalent of that is. But the second thing, so that's the first part, what do we do in a desert? We actually still are faithful to God within the small things that we have, even when we're yearning for a big thing to come along. The second thing, though, is nevertheless we do desire to hear God's voice and practice his presence. And sometimes today life is so full, there's so many things happening, it's easy for this desire to hear from God to be blunted, and we can sometimes just adapt ourselves just to remain in that desert. One of the things about Moses, he saw this bush burning, and there was something in him that said, I want to see what's happening, what's going on, this strange sight, why the bush burns, but it doesn't burn up. And I think God does speak to us in the desert, but we just need to be just seeking him and looking for that. See, very often we look back, we've been singing, haven't we, all through the storm, you are the anchor. God will be with us all the way through this desert experience, but I do believe the day does come when he will speak to us, and we just need to be encouraged always to draw near to God. And the third thing is always, as God leads us in that desert, then just be guided by him. As we draw near to God, he will come near to us. So I think we need to be faithful in that time, but always just listening and just looking for that word from God. And Moses here, of course, had a lot of time, you might think, just sitting there with his sheep, separated. But nevertheless, when on the day that God wished to speak, then Moses was actually able to listen. But I would suggest actually that for ourselves, it's easier to hear God if we are always trying to listen to him. You know, and sometimes if we don't practice his presence, and then suddenly we need to hear from him, then we can't, because our hearts have somehow become detached. And I think as we spend longer in his presence and in his word, it becomes easier to listen, doesn't it, and easier to hear from him. So anyway, that's the first point about God spoke to Moses actually in a desert. And I think encountering God actually, an encounter with God changes everything. And so we don't focus on, yes, I'm in a desert. We think, well, today God could change everything. And it's always the potential in that is immense. My second point is God gives a fresh revelation of himself. God actually said to him, let's just read out the verses. It says, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals. The place where you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So take off your sandals, you're standing on holy ground. And of course, the ground was really holy because that was the presence of God was there. And Moses showed this fear of God. And you know, he didn't do that to impress anybody else. That was just something, his response to that presence of God. And that again is something, when I said practicing the presence of God, you know, it's what we do when there's nobody else around that really shows what the reverence of God that there is in our hearts. I remember a very old talk by David Pawson from years ago, talking about somebody in Australia who was driving in the middle of Australia. Of course, there were no satellites or drones or anything in those days. And this man never drove above 50 miles an hour. And I remember David Pawson saying, why do you only drive at 50 miles an hour? He says, well, that's the law, he said. You know, and so this, of course, in those days, he was probably 1,000 miles from the nearest policeman. There were no speed cameras. There was nothing like that. And yet he just did always what is right, because it honored God. You know, this was a godly man. And Moses actually humbled himself before God. And God spoke very clearly to him, didn't he? He said, I'm the God of your father. I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And in saying that, what God is actually saying to Moses is, look, yes, God gave this amazing promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And yes, this doesn't look good, does it? You're slaves in Egypt, and you're in exile from there. But nevertheless, my promise still stands. I am the God of your father. And sometimes when we're in the desert, that's what we need to hear, isn't it? It's that word from God that says, yes, my promises are still valid and still true. And God does not change. And his words and his purposes for our lives don't change. And sometimes the desert is a shaping experience for us. But as we move through that, God's purposes, of course, still stand. If I just read it, just a couple of verses at the end of Genesis. This is when Joseph was about to die. Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and you must carry my bones up from this place. I always wondered what did everybody else think? I mean, what did they actually think when Joseph said that to his brothers? I expect myself they'd have thought, well, I don't really want God to come to my aid. This is a good place here. We're living in Egypt. There's no famine here. We've got the favor of Pharaoh. But Joseph knew that God's purposes weren't going to change. And he says, at some time, you will need to be rescued from this place. And he was just looking forward to that final purpose of God, wasn't he? He says, and when you go, take my bones with you. And they carried these bones all the way around the desert. And eventually, of course, the bones obviously arrived in the promised land. So the point about this is when God says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, that's just a way of saying, yes, even though you're on the far side of this desert, I'm still with you. My purpose for your life still stands. Just take that in this morning. No matter what circumstances you see in life, God's purpose for you is unchanged, and God's faithfulness is unchanged. And sometimes we have periods in life where we have difficult passages to walk through, but you know, God rewards us for our faithfulness during those times as well. You know, and it says, isn't it, that faith that's proved by adversity to be true is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it's refined by fire. So God showed his faithfulness, didn't he, when he spoke to Abraham like that. And the final thing I'll just say is that the future of a whole nation can be changed by that single encounter with God. And just think the potential that flowed, that what actually flowed from that meeting with God was truly amazing. So as God said, I've seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying. I'm concerned about them. And so therefore I've come to rescue them. And I'm going to rescue them by sending you, in fact. And of course, as we read through the remainder of Exodus and the following books, of course, we do read how God did indeed transport all of his people and take them back into this promised land. And when you think about that, you know, when we meet here today with our faith in Jesus, all of that flows because Jesus, of course, was born in the promised land, as it was prophesied he would do. All of these things that God was doing faithfully with his people were all necessary for Jesus to be born, of course, in Bethlehem. And the fact that we are here today as Christians is really a testament to God's faithfulness to his original plan. And if you look through the Old Testament, there are so many different things that happened. You know, how the nation of Israel went away from God and they were exiled and taken away to Babylon, but they were brought back again. And his purpose, actually, for the Messiah to come, the Son of God, Jesus, it actually endured through all of those apparent reversals. There are many, many wilderness periods, aren't there, in the lives of God's people over all of those many, many centuries. But actually, when the encounter came with God, the change was incredible. And when we actually think about the encounter that Moses had with God, then of course others had the same encounter. In the book of Joshua, God said to him, no one will stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave or forsake you. Therefore, be strong and courageous. And actually, of course, Joshua also had his role, didn't he, in taking the Israelites into the promised land. And it's an amazing privilege, actually, to be part of the plan of God. And there are so many people in the Bible who just do one thing, and when God gave them something to do, they did it, and it turned out to be really so significant. You know, when Paul was actually blinded on his way to Damascus, of course, it was somebody called Ananias, of course, who prayed for him. And of course, if you were a Christian, I suppose in those days, the one person you wouldn't want to meet face to face was Paul, who was killing Christians. But God said to him, I want you to pray for this person and restore his sight to him. And he did what he had to do. And of course, after that, Paul traveled all the way around, the Turkey and Greece and all the way to Rome. And all of those things, you know, that one person did the little task he was actually asked to do. A story, if you go on Alpha Course, it's always the story told about somebody called Albert McMackin, who was the person who persuaded Billy Graham to go to a meeting in which Billy Graham gave his heart to Christ and became a Christian. And you're thinking, of course, poor old Albert McMackin has just disappeared into history. Nobody really says very much about him. But actually, he was just faithful in that one thing, wasn't he, that God gave him to do. And that encounter with God, or that instruction with God, as we respond to that, the potential from any one of these things is truly amazing. Andrew, of course, was someone who, you know, he didn't have the status of someone like Peter or James or John, but of course he brought Peter to Jesus, didn't he? He told Peter about Jesus. You know, and I think, you know, we all have different roles, but the potential of just honestly obeying one thing that God tells us to do is without limit. You are changing the whole of eternity as a result of that. You know, and you can go to Trafalgar Square and you can see Nelson's Column with the four lions around it. And you can think, yes, we beat the French on the Battle of Trafalgar. But at the end of the day, that will all turn to dust and it will all disappear. And, you know, just like the ancient monuments around the world. But actually, if you do something and serve God, that will remain forever. That's an amazing thought, isn't it, really? And in fact, through Moses' encounter with God and his obedience to follow what with God said, that turned out to be a crucial part of God's plan that's led to Jesus being born in Israel and all of us being here today. So what I'm saying to you this morning is just be encouraged. If you feel that you're in a desert, then obviously pray to God, seek his voice, be curious, be open to God, but don't despise that desert. At the right time, God will speak to you. And even the smallest thing that we do faithfully could turn out to be the most astonishing thing for the people who will come after us. So today I would say, if you're in the wilderness, then well, just be faithful to what gives you to do. And the best of God's servants themselves have all spent time in just that same place. But nevertheless, allow yourself to be drawn to spiritual things and seek God. The third thing, just remember that faithful heart of God to you this morning. Just as God said, I am the God of your father. Even though you're in a wilderness, you're an exile from the exiles, but I'm still your father. Just always remember that. Sometimes we go so much by what we see, don't we? And we're controlled so much by the things we see around us. And yet as Christians, you know, when we exercise our faith, things that are not seen can be brought into being and things can change. And don't put this limit on what God may do. Just that one cup of cold water, you never know, that might eventually save a whole nation. You just don't know what the potential is as we obey God. So Moses was a man who was in a desert, but he encountered God. And he was actually asked to do quite a big thing, but nevertheless, as he obeyed that, the whole history of the world was changed, and we must never put that limit on what God can do in our lives. Amen.